FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's 12/20/18. I'm Carrie Lutz. And, well, you've been watching about the circus in D.C. The circus, it's not three rings. It seems like it's 20 rings. It's hard to keep track of them. I mean, who is the showmaster? That's what I'd like to know. Is it Robert Mueller? Is it President Trump, Nancy Pelosi? Well, it certainly isn't Mitch McConnell. Hey, as always, we invite you to be part of the show and email us, kl@carrielutz.com. We answer all, not always as timely as I'd like, but we do it. So just email us, kl@carrielutz.com. In the meantime, it's my pleasure to have on the show again Dr. Jerome Corsi. Latest book is Silent No More. Before that, it was Killing the Deep State. Dr. Corsi investigates. I mean, you've written so many books. Dr. Corsi, welcome back to the show.
Carrie, it's great to be back with you. Thank you very much.
So you've been the subject of a witch hunt by Herr Mueller, by Inspector Clouseau. Inspector Robert Clouseau Mueller, he's been after you. And look, it's like, I don't know. Do you speak Russian?
No, I don't speak Russian.
I don't think so. And you don't seem to be a Russian bot.
No, I'm not.
You know, you're an enemy of the deep state, an enemy of the far left. And this is payback time, it seems, isn't it?
That's how I see it. In fact, in the course of this 40 hours I spent with Mueller's inquisition, one of the prosecutors, Aaron Zelinsky, right at the end, when they, you know, they blew this all up, the special prosecutor, special counselor decided this, you know, now they're going to give me a plea deal and try to put me in prison, try to own me. I didn't do anything wrong, by the way. Mm-hmm. He starts criticizing my writings. He says, you know, this 20-minute speech, I have to sit there and listen to this guy. A very arrogant young prosecutor.
Aren't they all?
You know, you know, you take a fact here and a fact there. You don't know the difference between truth and false and fact here, fact, and you weave them with a lie. Mm-hmm. And then you convince many people, you know, millions of people that this is true. And so he's clearly criticizing me back to my work, like Unfit for Command with John O'Neill in 2004, the book, the Swift book against John Kerry.
Sure.
Now, the books I've written against Obama, including Obama Nation, which is number one. I mean, I've written 20 books since 2004, and mm-hmm. seven of them were New York Times bestsellers. Two were number one. And, you know, I don't think Zelensky's ever written a book, and I defy him to name any other nonfiction writer who's been so successful.
Yeah. I mean, Dr. Corsi, look, the crux of the matter is they asked you a question about an email that they already knew was in your archive. You
right.
didn't remember it, and I don't know what the answer exactly you told them, but, you know, hey, what about the idea? Did you ever broach it with your attorney of just not talking to them at all?
Well, it's not really a good, it's good strategy in the following sense. We did talk about it, but, you know, you don't know where they're headed,
mm-hmm.
and they may then just pull you in front of the grand jury. Of course, you can take the Fifth Amendment, and then they just charge you with a crime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the only way to find out where they are and to try to deal with them is what we did. We proffered, and we came in with all my computers, my laptops, which I've been using in 2016. They were Apple computers. One of them had a time machine application. I brought them the external hard drive,
right.
which I've been backing up these computers. We gave them everything,
mm-hmm.
my cell phone, my email. usernames and passwords and signed up for anything they wanted to see, we let them see. I had nothing to hide. I've done nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But what they wanted me to plead to was the first day's testimony when I did forget an email, and I'd amended that testimony. Mm-hmm. But they ignored the fact that it had been amended.
Really?
And you know, and the law you've got to plead guilty to is that you knowingly and willfully provided them information you knew to be false.
Mm-hmm.
with an intention to deceive them. Now, I didn't do that. I did repeatedly forget emails. I mean, they got an eight-inch binder in front of them with my name on it, and they ask a question, and they pull out something from there. Well, 2 years ago, you did this, or you had this phone call. And they seem to know what the content of all my phone calls were, which I'm sure comes from either FISA electronic surveillance or maybe just the NSA has been surveilling me back to 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I intend to find out. But, you know, this is you can't remember all these things. And they've got this big notebook here where they've studied and they're intentionally asking you questions, which, you know, I said, why are we playing this game? Why don't you show me those emails first and then ask me the questions?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, they tried that for a while, too. But, you know, then it's the first time I've seen these emails in 2 years. I'm trying to reconstruct. They say, well, Dr. Garcia, we don't want you to reconstruct. We want you to remember. I said, well, all right. Well, I mean, how do I know whether I'm remembering because I've reconstructed or I'm remembering because I'm inventing or,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do I distinguish these things? I mean, you ask me what my memory is. I tell you I can't remember. And they say, well, it's impossible you can't remember.
That's the one thing. If you don't remember, like my father always used to say, he never knew how much money he made. Because it felt like if the IRS audited him or asked him, he genuinely did not know. And if you don't know something or you don't remember, there's nothing they can do about it. Look at Comey. You know, Comey, the amnesiac, how many, over 200 times he told Congress he didn't remember.
Oh,
right.
But see, they'll excuse Comey because, again, Comey's deep state.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I'm an enemy of the deep state.
Sure.
So therefore, when I don't remember, they say it's impossible you don't remember. Or they say you're mm-hmm. engaging in a pattern of not remembering so as to deceive us.
Yeah, they could say that, but they can't charge you for not remembering. I've never heard anybody get charged because they didn't remember something. So it's always better not to remember.
Well, and also what they wanted, given this 40 hours of testimony, I turned over everything. How could I be proven to have intended to deceive them when they're questioning me from in part material I handed over?
Yeah, it's madness. And actually, they could have gotten all that stuff that you gave them. You just saved them the trouble of it.
Yes,
right?
That's right.
Everything
they could have busted in the front door with a search warrant and gotten all that stuff.
Or they could have just put in a just gone to the NSA, right? The NSA
right.
has it all. So, you know,
I'm sure they did.
Yeah. So,
but it's a losing game. See, the problem is that the deal is that they've got certain information they want. Okay, so they've got a predetermined. You know, I would think a legitimate investigation would be done to. Begin assembling facts and let your hypotheses form from the facts.
Right.
First, we got to have a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, they don't have a crime, but they've got a theory that they're trying to prove, which means they want your testimony to fit into a box in their predetermined script. Now, where I had the problem was that they were determined that I had to know Julian Assange and that mm-hmm. I connected Roger Stone to Julian Assange.
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't know Julian Assange.
Mm-hmm.
I've never talked to Julian Assange. I have no emails or other communication with Julian Assange or with WikiLeaks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not even sure WikiLeaks particularly likes me. You know? I mean, I'm not one of their buddies.
Yeah.
And I don't have anybody to connect me to WikiLeaks.
That's the whole thing is kind of absurd. You know, obviously we know, and you know it quite well, that everything you do in this technological world, somebody's got a record of. Somebody does. So the idea of lying about it or misrepresenting it doesn't buy you anything. And one thing, whether they hate your guts or not, Dr. Corsi, they know you're not a dummy. All right. So they basically have to tilt and contort things. You know, it's that book, Three Felonies a Day. I put it more succinctly than that. From the time you wake up in the morning to the time you brush your teeth, you've already committed a felony, right? You don't know what it is. You might have lied to yourself or your mother. Who knows? But you're felonious. Your behavior is felonious already. So when they want you, they're going to get you. Did you happen to come into contact with the erstwhile assistant special counsel, Andrew Weissman?
No, these were three of the prosecutors. Jeannie Ree, who is in the same law firm, by the way, as Mueller.
Yeah, of course.
And she is an attorney for Hillary Clinton in her emails and her Clinton Foundation. So you know where Jeannie Ree sits and stands.
Yeah, sure.
And Zelensky, he's all three of the special counsel prosecutors were grilling me, were hardcore Hillary Clinton.
Clintonistas, as they call them, right?
So yeah, I mean, totally clearly. And I've written this book now, Silent No More, and How I Became a Political Prisoner of Mueller's Witch Hunt. That's the subtitle. And I take you day by day through this from the moment the FBI shows up on August 28th at my doorstep and rings the bell and says FBI, which pretty chilling moment.
Yeah, it's the last door. That's the last knock on the door you ever want to answer is the fumbling bunch of idiots. I mean, the FBI knocking at your door, Dr. Corsi, look, we know that the FBI is corrupt from top to bottom. All right. It's never been America's premier law enforcement agency. Yes, they have had cases solved by hardworking men and women that have been quite outstanding. But the organization itself was corrupt from the moment they picked J. Edgar Hoover. He was in the mob's pocket. There's stories that he used to go to the track with, I think it was, I can't remember which mobster it was. I want to say Lucchese, but I know it's not him. And he used to bet $2 and they used to fix the race so he would win. I mean, the guy would never even admit there was a mafia. And it hasn't gotten any better since then, from domestic surveillance of political enemies during Nixon's time. It happened before that. LBJ, the surveillance of JFK, they knew where all the bodies were buried. In fact, Mary Lincoln, who I believe was JFK's secretary, in the documentary, The Men Who Killed Kennedy, stated that the reason JFK picked Lyndon Johnson was that he was being blackmailed by J. Edgar Hoover, and if he didn't pick LBJ, then J. Edgar Hoover was going to divulge the existence of his affair with Judith Exner, where they had pictures and everything else. So it was a bitter pill to swallow, but he picked him nonetheless, and the rest is history.
Well, you know what Jack Ruby said? Jack Ruby actually is on film saying that Jack would be alive if he'd only picked Adlai Stevenson as his running mate.
He might not have become president, but he'd be alive. So maybe, I don't know if we'd be better off or not.
But we're talking about the same thing, and that is that my experience and the reason I wrote this book, and by the way, they try to bankrupt you. That's the other thing they try to do, and it's very hard on our side to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
I've got CorsiNation.com, and I'm trying to raise money on PayPal and DonorBox, and I've got a GoFundMe. But you spend $100,000 and you struggle to raise $30,000. Now, if I were on the other side, were Peter Strozek, I put up a GoFundMe, I'd have $250,000 in it within a half an hour.
Or Dr. Blasey Ford, you'd have
$2 million. I believe she raised.
Hey, well, why don't you do this? Just say a portion of every dollar raised will be donated to help build the wall.
That's a good idea.
And in fact, that's a good thing for any author, anybody trying to sell books, whatever. Just a portion of every dollar you get, 5%, whatever, goes to the GoFundMe page to build the wall. And but the fact is, look what they did here, Dr. Corsi. They're bitching about your evidence and lying and all that. They take Lisa Page's cell phone, Peter Strozek's cell phone, And they already knew that the special counsel, I mean, the inspector general wanted those devices so he could pull the text off of there. And what do? They wipe them clean. How does that work?
Well, and it's okay if they do that. But see, they're so angry at me. They're so determined to find a crime now that they go knocking on the door of my 43-year-old stepson.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, are you Dr. Corsi's, his technical expert for computers, AI guy? And Andrew says, what, are you kidding me? He said, well, we have text message here where you wiped clean a computer for Dr. Corsi. Were you eliminating evidence?
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew said, look, I said, first of all, I got two German shepherds in here and they can taste FBI. So you guys aren't coming in. he said, secondly, there was an old computer that had been so packed with data and, you know, had no more memory left in it. And that, of course, he wasn't using it. My wife needed a computer for her business. And Dr. Corsi said, why don't you take this computer, wipe it clean since I'm not using it, and give it to your mother? Well, that's what he did. He said, I'm not destroying any evidence. Dr. Corsi doesn't destroy anything. I mean, I had this time machine application, which external hard drive backed up my computer four times a month throughout 2016. I couldn't destroy anything.
Yeah.
And I handed that over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't have been any more compliant and cooperative. But you know what? When they're out to get you, you can't do enough. It's really that simple. When they want you. So you've got sources inside the government. What was the response of Mueller, what you've heard, and the Department of Justice and the FBI when, A, you sued them because you're suing them for their witch hunt, and B, you came out with this book? They must have freaked out because they can't do this unless they do it secretly. Everything has to be done in secret with no transparency and no indication to the public what's happening.
Well, Kerry, you get it. I mean, the worst thing is going to happen to Mueller is when people begin reading this book. Mm. When they begin reading this book and begin seeing what's going on in this book,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be freaked out and they're going to be basically saying, we're done, you know, with this Mueller deal. It's got to come to an end. Because when they see what happened to me, this could happen. They're coming for you next.
I know. It's chilling. And, you know, it makes you think, we're living in a wannabe police state here, right?
Yeah, it is a police state already. It's already happened.
It's transitioning into one. It's not quite there, but it's well on its way. Maybe this criminal justice bill that is passed with bipartisan support is going to help change that a little bit, because you know that everything is in the control of the prosecutor, because nobody can afford to go to trial. Very few people. 98%, I think, of all the cases that come to criminal courts are settled by plea bargain, because the dirty secret is they don't have any ability to try all these cases, so they have to plead them out. And then they overcharge you and all of these things, and you wind up having to plea out because nobody can afford to fight them. And they have a 98% conviction rate anyway. So if you do fight them, what is that going to get you?
Well, see, they're massive bullies, and they intend to bully you. I mean, they intend to get you in one of these memory traps where from the very first they can say, we're going to come after you, and we're going to definitely make sure that you're in jail for the rest of your life.
Yes.
And then they say, well, we'll give you a plea deal. Well, they wanted me to plead guilty to my first day memory mistake, not acknowledging they'd allowed me to amend the testimony. That's why I said, I'm not doing that. I'm not going in front of a federal judge, putting my hand in a Bible.
You have to do an elocution. Yeah.
That I committed a crime I didn't commit. But then they say, okay, well, if you go and if you won't go to prison, if you accept this, if you tell this lie and say you, you know, intentionally deceived us when we know you didn't, but just tell this lie, and then you won't go to prison. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Well, I said, what are you going to sentence me? I said, well, maybe in a year. So, okay, that means I have to not publish this book, Silent No More. I have to not be on this radio show right now with you, Kerry. I can't talk. I can't write anymore. I have to say, okay, so I'm going to go bankrupt. Well, Dr. Corsi, since that's a secret that you, it's sealed, that you stood in front of a judge and became a felon, you can't tell the bankrupt court. Well, that's another problem. And I've got securities licenses and insurance licenses I've had since the mid-80s. And so, wait a minute, I've got to tell the regulators in these industries any material change in my circumstance, which could make it that I shouldn't hold a license. I said, clearly, I have to tell them I'm a felon. They said, oh, Dr. Corsi, it's secret. So now they're asking me to violate regulations in the securities industry and the insurance industry, and those regulators will come after me.
Yes.
And so it's a, the structure of the plea could only be done by a criminal, and it could only be done by a criminal who's got political animus, political malice towards me.
Yeah.
And the, so the political criminals are running the Justice Department. That's the conclusion. I want everybody who reads my book, Silent No More, has got to come to, because I have the, my case proves it.
Yeah.
And then when we went and sued them, I'm sure by now, you know, they've looked for, they have sent people to see everybody in my past they can find. They've looked under every corner of everything they could look into. They've studied my live chat. They've studied my website. You know, they've done everything they can figure out how to do, and send their agents all over questioning them. I wrote this article on Libya, and I've been writing on Libya. Yeah. Hillary Clinton was illegally getting arms through Libya into Syria. I mean, the crimes of Hillary Clinton are massive. They don't want to hear about any of those. And so they thought maybe that these two sources I had in Texas who connected to me to the, they were in the oil business in Libya before they got thrown out after Hillary deposed Gaddafi and destabilized the entire country with radical Islamicists. Another one of Hillary's bright stars. And, you know, they connected me with the exiles from Libya in Egypt. And they went, the FBI went down to two guys they sent to see these people. They separate husband and wife. They grill them for 3 hours. They want to know if Corsi's associated with Assange, and did this stuff come from Assange? No, it had nothing to do with Assange. It had to do with Libyan exiles, and they, of course, he happens to be a hero to the Libyan people because he stood up against Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
But that's the degree to which they've gone.
Yeah.
You know.
So,
and
so the response, have you heard from anybody about what they really think about the book and the fact that you've gone on the one?
Other than you have to know they hate it.
Yeah.
And they have to know they, you know, I've gone public and said, I'm, you know, I'm not going to, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to swear in a Bible to a crime I didn't commit. And, you know, this matter of faith, I'm 72 years old. They can put me in prison the rest of my life. I've got a, trying to raise money in this CorsiNation.com. I don't know that I'll be able to do it. Dad, are we going to lose the house? Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're in the fight of your life. I'm sorry it came this late for you. But at some point, all of us are required to take a stand, aren't we?
You'll have to, everybody in this society is going to be forced to take a stand. And it's coming. And if you don't go along with the deep state, they'll crush you.
Yeah.
The gulags are coming. And anybody who doesn't think that, just take Hillary's deplorable speech and realize that once this hard left is in control, everyone she identified as a deplorable xenophobe and opposed to the LGBT and whatever it is agenda, those are now going to be criminals. You're going to be criminally trying to deny rights to, and you will be charged with criminal offenses if you don't go along. You know, Orwell's thought police will be monitoring you.
Hey, no one is safe from the tentacles of the deep state, Dr. Corsi. That's the fact of the matter. No one is safe. Not me, not you, not Donald Trump, not the guy mopping the floors at McDonald's. We're all, if we don't think the way they want us to think, then we're all a prime target.
That's right. And everybody's vulnerable, because even if you're trying to live off the grid, they're going to come and get you.
Oh, yeah. There's no such thing as living off the grid, because even if you're not signed up for Facebook, they're still monitoring you on Facebook. We could get into the whole thing of the censorship, Alex Jones, and of numerous other conservative thought leaders on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Patreon. You go down the list. They're trying to deperson these people. And the question is, will they be successful? Is there going to be this counter-revolution, I would call it, led by the forces of Q? I'm beginning to wonder, but that's a story for another day. So, Dr. Corsi, I guess, where do we find your book? Amazon and...
Amazon, yeah. We came out with the ebook as fast as we could. Mm-hmm. It's got some errors in it. Some of the dates are wrong. I mean, it could have been better proofread. We want to get it out there. Mm-hmm. And it's an ebook. It's a Kindle. Now, the audiobook I recorded, not knowing if they're going to knock on the door and interrupt me to arrest me, but I recorded it. It's going to be out very quickly. Right. And it, of course, won't have the errors in it. And then the hardcover will be out in March, and it will also not have the errors in it. But right now, you can read the ebook. It's a Kindle on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And Amazon will give you a free Kindle reader if you don't have a device, device. You can get a, on the app stores for either the Mac or the Apple, you can get a Kindle reader free. So you can read this book on your computer, on your laptop, or mm-hmm. on your cell phone if you want to, by just downloading the Kindle app and then, you know, buying the book on Amazon. And it's going to be the same when the audio's out. You'll be able to buy it as a podcast and listen to it as a podcast.
I can't wait. Can't wait. Well, hey, Dr. Corsi, our thoughts, our prayers are with you. We're hoping that that they can't do the nefarious things that they're planning to do and that you will be safe and out of harm's way. I can tell you're a fighter. You're never going to give up. And that's an inspiration that we can all get from your personal battle with the deep state. We wish you the best. Hey, any questions for Dr. Corsi, myself, just email us, kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz. Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. If you're listening to this on YouTube, then please subscribe, like, and share. Really helps me a lot, helps the show a lot. And if you're just listening elsewhere, just send a link to somebody, a friend, coworker, whatever, and just let them know that there's information out there that is important that they know about. Dr. Corsi, can't wait to have you on again. Thank you so much for coming on. We wish you the best of luck. And hey, Merry Christmas. And a healthy and a happy new year to you.
Okay, Carrie, thank you. God bless. And I look forward to being with you again.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.